And welcome to
You Haven't Seen.
I'm Debbie.
And I'm Ashley.
This is a podcast where we watch movies everyone has seen but us and then talk about them. And today we are rounding off the month with a movie that Ashley has not seen.
Yeah.
That does not fit at all within the
nope.
rock music theme
nope.
that we have been following. Because I said, let's watch Roman Holiday.
And I said, okay.
Because it's cute and I think we could use a feel-good movie. Roman Holiday was released in 1953 and stars Gregory Peck and Audrey Hepburn.
Who's 24 when this came out.
When it was released, yeah. She was 24.
Okay.
I think it was shot a few years before.
Okay.
What do you know about this?
Well, I mean, I know that it's, I know it from, like, movie stills and that stuff. Like, I know, like, a princess takes the day off and is shown around Rome.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen the clip where they're on the Vespa.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen that a lot. And the hand, there's like a statue thing that bites off your hand if you tell the truth or lie.
Oh, okay.
I know that. I know this film, it's one of those films where this is like the main reason that I was excited to start doing these. Because this was one of the movies where it's like, I know it. Like, just sit down. I was like, I know it. I don't need to watch it. Mm. So that's just why I haven't watched it.
Yeah.
But I there is a gap in my film knowledge as mm-hmm. far as Audrey Hepburn is concerned. I haven't seen a lot of
this
her stuff.
This was her her first Hollywood movie.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
See, I've never in a million years would have thought this was the first one.
Yep, this is the first one. She had done some acting in London before, but this was the first American movie that she was cast in. It was filmed entirely in Rome, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, this was one that I watched first in... I think I watched it in my film history class, and
yeah.
I just thought, oh, this is cute.
This is a bit, it's, yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of those rom-coms.
That's exactly what this is. This is, because I'm not a huge fan of rom-coms, like, current rom-coms.
You bite your tongue.
But I like a lot of, like, classic old black and white rom-coms.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just...
I think you've now said a statement that we have to prove you wrong on, because there's a couple that are like, they're so good.
What? Romantic comedies?
Yeah.
Well, I know
this.
Came
out in, like, the last couple of years.
Well,
no, maybe not the last couple of years, but, like, I'd say 80s, 90s.
Well, because I say that... Okay, this is going to turn into a bit of a tangent, but
90s was a golden age of
romance. I was like, rom-coms get a bad rep.
They do.
Most of the rom-coms I like are actually from the 90s.
Yeah.
There was a little bit in, like, you know, the early 2000s, just, like, a slew of... It seemed like there was just so many romantic comedies released
yeah.
that were all just kind of bad.
That's the thing.
And then I think now they've gotten a very bad name, but if you...
Yes.
I'm excited for you to watch this, because, like, it's a classic romantic comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's the thing. I'm with you. I feel like romance... Every now and then, it is nice to watch a romance comedy.
Yeah.
And the romantic comedies I tend to like tend to be more on the comedy side than
mm-hmm.
the romance side, just because I'm afraid of my feelings.
Okay.
So I'm like, I would much rather laugh than, like, actually acknowledge
mm.
this. But, I like them more than I care to admit.
Yeah.
But
like,
I would
it
never
somehow turn into a bad thing to be like,
yeah.
I like romantic comedies. And it's like, no, you can like romantic comedies.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm going to put in, like, I wouldn't put it in to, like, fall asleep to.
No, this is one that I've watched a couple of times and I've always seen. It's like, I'm going to have it on while I'm doing stuff. Because
yeah.
it's light and fluffy.
And this movie is long, right?
It's longer than most movies from around this time. It's an hour 58 minutes. Directed by William Wyler. Won 3 Oscars.
All right.
I'm trying to find the taglines, which
Ooh.
Is why I'm scrolling down. I get to read the second one. You
okay.
read the first one.
Okay, this is... Alright.
You know the taglines from back then.
I know. But this doesn't even sound like... what. Okay.
Yeah.
Roman Holiday. Audrey Hepburn at her Oscar-winning best in an immortal comedy romance. Does it just sound...
Well, because it's like, you know that was just a publicity line
right.
from...
It sounds like this is a tagline.
Oscar-winning best.
Oh, I should have done 1920 voice.
This one is romance and romantic Rome. Like, good job, guys. Good job.
Do you think they came up with that one and was like, well, we're going to take the rest of today off?
I think so. They were like, type that down, and then let's
hit
the
bar.
Okay, let's watch it.
Let's do this.
Do it. Hey guys, we're back.
Oh, that was lovely. Now,
wasn't it though? Wasn't it just?
It warms my cold, meaty suit.
The cockles of your heart. So let's just do a quick synopsis and then we'll dig into it. But basically, Audrey Hepburn is a princess from a hilariously undisclosed country.
They make such pains to not name this country.
And it's not even that they just don't name it. They say that, you know,
they mumble
the country of her origin.
Right.
Or it's like, there are so many other ways you could have said that sentence without digging up the fact that we can't say the name of the country she's from.
I think at one point they're just like, you know, the country that... And I'm like, no. What?
You know, like, that country she's from. Everyone goes, oh, that country. I'm like, okay, so Princess Anne from undisclosed location.
An undisclosed accent.
Yeah. Well, because one of the reasons when they were cast in London, it's like they needed someone without a American or British accent, yes. Which is one of the reasons why she was cast. But she escapes one night. Well, she has kind of a meltdown.
Yeah, because she's on basically a press tour.
Yeah.
And they have her from like 9 until like midnight.
Yeah, she's basically a puppet.
Totally.
She understandably kind of breaks down one night, yeah. So they call the doctor, who drugs her, and in the maybe several hours between when he gives her this shot and when it actually takes effect, she escapes the palace where she's staying at in Rome.
Yes.
Falls asleep, then the drugs start to hit. Falls asleep on the side of the road, gets picked up by Gregory Peck.
Who's a journalist.
Yeah, who's a journalist.
American journalist.
Yeah.
In Rome.
And then so he lets what he thinks is this drunk girl just sleep it off in his apartment, and then the next day he realizes, holy crap, this is a princess.
Uh-huh.
So he brings his photographer friend, like, we're gonna have the best story ever. They spend the day with her in Rome, but then they end up, you know, falling in love, and she goes back, and he just can't bring himself to make money off of her big day.
Uh-huh.
And then they, like, never see each other again.
Oh.
Yeah. Accurate synopsis. Good job, Debbie. What? So, what do you want to talk about first?
Well, first of all, I didn't know that this was... like, Audrey Hepburn's first movie. I don't know what I thought it was, but, like, I didn't realize that this was the first one, and so in the opening credits, it was, like, introducing Audrey Hepburn, and I giggled, because I was, like, oh.
Introducing. Right. And I was, like, no.
No.
This was the first one.
Edith Head did the costumes for this, which, she's, like, famous.
Which, okay.
That's Edna Mole.
I do want to mention the costumes a little bit, because if anyone listens to the podcast, you must remember this. I just listened to the episode on Audrey Hepburn, and it was very interesting, because I think it was saying that, I think her second movie was Sabrina, and that was the movie where Audrey Hepburn, like, she went and bought her own clothes from French designers to be costumed for that movie. And so Sabrina was the movie that really cemented, like, the iconic image of Audrey Hepburn that we think of today, because that was the movie where it's like, oh, this is how we dress Audrey Hepburn.
Yeah.
Because she's 5'7", so she's taller than stars at the time. And because of World War II, she was, you know, malnourished as a child, and so that's one of the, and she did ballet. And so those two combined, that's why she's so, so slender. And so she mentioned, the host of, hold on one second,
Well, Edith Head is a costume supervisor.
Yeah.
On Sabrina, and she designed for Roman Holiday.
Yes. Roman Holiday, though, they didn't dress her, to, you
but
know,
she
essentially.
Had one outfit.
Yeah, the thing is, and that's the thing, it's like, Audrey Hepburn will never look ugly in anything.
No.
But there is a way to dress her that, like,
yes.
You know, accentuates all of her best features. Wasn't happening in Roman Holiday, did happen in Sabrina. And you must remember this is Karina Longworth. Because I was like, oh, I should cite this properly.
Oh, she's the host?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Edith Head is Edna Mole.
Yeah.
So I like Edith Head. I think her costume work is beautiful. And she's a really good designer. So
she is.
Like, oh, duh.
I love Audrey Hepburn's the haircut that she gets.
I do too. We were talking about this.
Yeah.
Because both of us have... you have short hair now.
I have a pixie cut.
I have had a pixie cut in the past. Which was a very traumatic experience.
Well, because when Audrey Hepburn goes and gets her hair cut, she's like, cut it short. And he, like, goes up by inch on her, like, here, shorter. here, shorter. And then finally he's like, where? And so she motions with her hands like, here. And then it turns into, it's like, oh, it's such a hardship for this man to cut it all off. There, there. And I was like, this is exactly what happened the first time I got my hair cut, where it's like, are you sure? And then every time still, well, not anymore because I've finally found a hair place that I like, but it just turned into a thing for a cut. I've had a pixie cut for 6 years now.
Yeah.
And every single time, I moved around so much, so every single time I got my hair cut, I was like, hi, I would like this shorter than it currently is, and it's already pretty short. And every single time, are you sure? Really? Well, I don't even know. And I was like, you see me.
Yeah.
I come in here asking for a haircut.
Right.
What did you think was gonna... What did you think was gonna happen?
To be fair, though, this is not something you can come back from.
I mean, I get that.
But I feel like if you were going from her hair, which is like...
Her hair was long.
So long. Like, past shoulders, like, really long.
Mm-hmm.
That is a change that even... Like, that's something that you have to keep checking in on. And she looks... Audrey Hepburn
looks 12. Like she's 12, yeah.
She looks like she's 16.
She looks very young.
It looks like she got lost from a school
group. I think she was meant to be, like, 17, 18.
Yeah,
you know?
That
shady, like, she's an adult.
Right, no. she's 21.
She's macking on Gregory Peck. She has to be an adult, but
right,
so.
And she is drinking.
Yeah.
So she has to be 18.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, right. That's how old it is in England.
I mean, no one looked in my ID, so...
No, I mean, I think that was probably the least of their concerns around that
time. So I'm kind of like, but I felt more that it was like, this poor child has, like, gotten free of its mother and is like, chop my hair off, and it's like, whoa.
Yeah. Well, true, because also if anyone saw her walking down the street, she's just kind of... bopping along, she's running into things, she's just flitting around. Like, if anyone had watched her progression from the apartment to the hair salon, they would think, this woman is on something.
Not on something, and also, like, she just reminded me of, like, one of those women who's like, I need to get away for the day. Like, her day off.
She bought shoes. She got a haircut.
Got ice cream. And I was like... I don't know what's different than a normal day off that I have.
No, like, right on, girl.
Right on.
And then, you know, she met up with a friend.
Right.
Who took her and was like, hey, let's go grab a bite. What do you want to drink? And she's champagne. That a girl.
It's like four.
Which also, this was the longest day ever. Because when she finally woke up, it was already 1:30 in the afternoon.
Right.
She goes on this escapade. So it's a couple hours to buy shoes and cut your hair and get ice cream. And then they still wander around for a couple more hours. He drives her all around Rome. And then they go... This was a long day.
Yeah.
The sun must have set at, like, 10 p.m. on this day. Because, my goodness, they crammed a
summer
lot
solstice.
In. Yeah. But I just thought... And then when she's dancing with the barber on the barge later. I thought that was funny, too. How he just stops and fixes her hair. Because...
Not for the better.
No, he should have kept her bangs how they were. But now that I get my hair cut by, like, a friend, whenever I'm hanging out with this friend, she'll reach across the table and fix my hair. And it's happened because now every time I go and get my hair cut, we usually end up having dinner afterwards. And so this has been, like, 3 or 4 times now. And every single time she'll reach across the table and she'll just go, hold on, and fix it. And slip it. Because... What I do when I get my haircut, it's always like, this is what I want, but also kind of have fun with it, because I don't care, I'll be here in a month, like, it's
right.
Gonna
look
completely different. And so it always turns into, like, an experiment time that just kind of continues throughout the rest of the night like, just moves a little thing around. I was like, oh, thank you, I look exactly the same,
right.
But thank God you got that little snippet of hair away from my,
that
the crown of my head. Oh, that, you know, sealed the look. I have a couple. This is funnier than I remembered, but it was slower than I remembered.
Oh, it's so slow.
I was watching this and I was like, this is one, I think, why I've always had it on in the background while I'm doing other things. Because I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
It was just slow, and there was so many slow. Almost jump cuts in it.
Yeah, like you were like, oh, great, we're moving. And it was like, no.
But, and you could tell they had just, like, you know, zoomed in and shifted it to make it not a jump cut sometimes, but I was like, you gotta just punch in just a little bit more, just shy of not making it jarring, where it's like, if you had, like, really punched in and made this a close-up instead, would not have bothered me, but instead you just, like, just barely, I was like, ah, no, it kept, I like, it was just almost like a tick, where I was like, ah, it's not a jump cut, but, like, it's so close to me.
Yeah, it was just, I was like, it doesn't pick up until, like, the first hour.
Yeah.
And that was, like, well, the holiday doesn't start for, like, 45 minutes.
It doesn't. And that, when she's leaving the palace, I have written down the longest escape scene ever.
With no tension.
No. I mean, like, they tried, because you see kind of the shadows of people walk around, but I was like, this is the longest escape scene of my life.
Yeah, it was
her,
like, walking around an apartment, and I was like, what? Like, I get it, like, this is a huge palace, like, oh, wow, like, it shows the scale, but it was, like, there was, like, one shadow, and it was, like, so far away, she was already hidden, and I was like,
and then,
oh, this is...
at the end, when she's going down, she wants to meet the press, and is going down the line, we see her shake every single extra's hand. In that line,
that
I'm just like, I understand this wasn't the highest budget movie, you know, because it's, you know, casting an unknown here, but I was like, but do we need to see her shake everyone's hands?
See, I did like that one. Because it just built up the tension of what is going to happen with Gregory. I like that one. The part that I didn't like was that it takes her 45 minutes to wake up.
Oh, that's true. It does
like,
take her.
Like, that
very
was the part where I was like, okay, we don't need all this. Please, just snap. Come on, girl. Yeah. Come on.
The entire time she's drugged, I have written down, I am nothing like Audrey Hepburn, but this movie makes me relate to Audrey Hepburn.
Yes, no, 100%.
This is her entire scene, and I just think it's so funny where it's like, of course he thinks she's drunk. Because how many drunk people, you know, I have acted exactly like that. And I dreamed that I fell asleep on the street, and there was a man, and he was
so mean to me.
Oh, bless. there, Audrey.
But, that was the part where I was like, we just need to get this movie moving. He knows that she's a princess. Mm-hmm. You know, like, let's wake up, let's get the day going. And they were still like, oh, doctor? And he's like, yes, I'm the doctor. And I was like, just hit her. Like, shake her.
This could have been a very, but, you know, then again, just different times, you know, obviously, but had this been made today, it probably would have been 90 minutes.
At least, yeah.
Yeah.
But, it took her forever to wake up, and then because I was so mad that it took her so long to wake up, the terror when she finally wakes up, like, Audrey Hepburn does not say much in this movie. Anything she says
she does
like,
later.
Right.
But in the first, probably, hour of this movie.
But she never really, like, explains herself or her feelings 100%.
No.
Like, she's very reserved.
She keeps it quite bottled up.
She does.
No wonder she had a breakdown.
Right.
She should express her emotions.
But, like, she says a lot with her face in terms of, like, that's how she communicates with, like, her team. Is, like, you know, she just, like, nods, they start moving, all this stuff. So when she finally wakes up in Gregory Peck's apartment, the terror on her face, where she doesn't know where she is so moving, but I was so annoyed that it took so long to get there that I was like...
We were like, finally!
And I was like, great!
Hey,
like,
look who's awake!
Awesome! Like, let's, like, get this moving. But I love, like, just, I feel like old movies are sometimes like, oh, it's not that scary to wake up. Like, it's funny.
Yeah, and it's like, no, this would be terrifying.
Right, and the fact that
she's terrified.
Right, like, she was terrified. Yeah. I immediately checked to see if she had underwear on.
Yeah, well, did you catch the innuendo of, did you lose something?
Yeah.
And she was like, no. And then all the censors breathe a sigh of relief, like, she's still a virgin.
Yeah.
Like, don't worry.
Like, that was the moment where I was like, that's what you would do.
Yeah.
It's like,
it was she's so cute. When she's going in to take her bath, you know, going into the bathroom, because she's already wearing pajamas that cover her from head to toe. She's wrapped the sheet around her, and then she picks up all of her clothing. And so she has just so much fabric now covering her entire body, and she's just so cute, like, oh no, I'm being indecent. And it's like, girl, you have so much fabric on right now.
But the thing is, I kind of forgot that in the scene she's like, I've never been alone in a room with a man before.
She's never worn pajamas before.
Never worn pajamas before. But not only that, but, like, she has just never been alone in her life.
Yeah.
And I was like, that has to be crazy. And so I keep having... That's why I had to... That's when I started to look up how old she was. Because I was like, I don't know if I'm offended or not. Because I was like, oh... Because she... But then it's like, well, no. She is stunted emotionally. So she is a little bit more like...
I don't think she's stunted emotionally. I just think that she hasn't been exposed to anything. So she's very, very, very naive.
Yes. Naive is the word I was looking for.
Just about... What I was going to say... Is Gregory Peck? What's his name in this movie?
Jay Bradley.
Yeah, I was like, it was such a good, just strong American name.
Jimmy Bond.
Yeah, he's such a creeper. Because he's very,
Joe Bradley.
Yeah,
sorry.
Joe Bradley. He's very sweet to Princess Anne, but then later when he's following her and trying to be incognito, and he's trying to steal the camera from that schoolgirl.
Well,
this is my camera. Like, I have written down. Don't steal from children. General rule. The school mistress or whatever. Right. They came up and just threw such shade. Where she just, sir, you're a grown man.
But the thing...
Unhand this girl.
Hi. That's her camera. But Gregory Peck, he kept doing this thing that every time I was like, ooh. He would just look at her up and down every single time before she talked. He was just like...
He's falling in love.
But it was just like a weird like... Ugh. And I'd be like... That was a lot of
I didn't
noise.
Notice that.
He did it a couple times and I was like...
I liked his friend, the photographer friend.
I love Irving!
He was funny because he's slow to pick up on these things. Has such a quick temper, this man.
Right.
He's getting coffee spilled all over him when he goes, look at my pants. I was like, oh, man, look at his pants.
Look
He's
at his
never
going to
get that stain out. He probably only has, like, two pairs of pants.
But what was he doing the first time they cut to him? He's like...
Oh, I think he's taking... You know how when you see the, like pinup girl pictures?
Oh.
I'm pretty sure that's what pictures he's taking, how they had, like, the actual people pose for them.
Well, I was confused because I thought the fishing line was around his leg because he, like, slammed his foot down.
It is around his leg.
Oh.
Because I think it's where she was, like,
leaning. I see.
Yeah, they were trying to get the picture that shall be drawn from that photo is her, like, leaning over, like, holding a fishing line where someone's tugging the fishing line.
I was so confused.
Yeah.
No, Irving was my favorite.
Not smooth at all.
Nope.
When they're on the barge and they're taking the, I'm using air quotes here, readers, sneaky pictures.
Okay.
How did no one notice that?
The sneaky pictures, when they started, okay.
It's a mighty fast shutter, because as soon as he clicked it, he was yanking that out of the way. It's like, oh, it's gonna be blurry.
So, these two men.
Yeah. These two grown men.
Grown men.
Are taking a barely overage woman around.
Right? And the thing is, like, they... And I get that she's naive, but, like, she's...
But wouldn't you notice?
Right? Like...
Especially, he's driving the car and standing up in the car and turning around to take pictures of them.
But, like, he made sure to point. But, like...
Peripheral vision is a thing that exists.
Right, but, like, I just don't understand. They must have had her so sheltered.
Yeah.
That, like, the thought of someone bringing harm to her would have been... Something that wouldn't have existed.
Yeah.
And that's the part where I was like, these men are terrible. It was the cigarette pictures.
Yeah.
That I was like, oh, there's nothing about them that I enjoy at the moment.
Mm.
Like, Irving, I like him.
Yeah.
Because he's funny and I'm easily won over. And I was like, okay, he's just an idiot.
But then they didn't end up selling the
and
pictures.
And I knew
so
they
realized
wouldn't
that
it.
What they did was wrong.
And I knew they wouldn't, but it's still like, ugh,
they
this
still
is
took
a
advantage
child.
Of this poor girl.
Right.
Yeah.
Who just wants to have a good day off school?
I like how when she said her last name was Smith and they just started calling her
Smitty.
I was like, that's such a cute nickname. Smitty. Like, oh, that I wish I had a easily, like, Rolf. Ugh.
Rolfie.
No.
Okay.
But
yeah, that was the picture thing. I was just like, this poor girl. Like, she's excited. And then, like, when the scooter takes off and, like,
God.
She plows through all this
Someone
stuff.
Someone died.
Yeah, oh, definitely. There were a couple of Italian grandmothers who I was like, you're like, not extras.
Who are you?
You're just a little lady on a random market.
I was remarking when we were watching it that I do like watching older movies when it's like stunt people weren't what they are today.
Yeah.
And you see, you know, someone topple over, do somersaults and stuff like that. And you just think like, wow, that man
is dead.
That man might have been seriously injured from that or whatever. Or just like, man, what an amazing gymnast.
Yeah.
He's wearing a suit, you know? But can we talk about the terrible Secret Service men who were sent to go find her? All the men in hats and suits.
Okay. So, I had a question.
Yeah.
I still don't think they're Secret Service men. Even though it says it. But the way they showed up and the way they were dressed, I was like, this is the mob.
No, they're the worst, like...
It's Italy. How did they not expect mafia?
They were all coming off the plane. They were flown in from her country.
So her country has the mafia?
No.
Oh.
These were their, like, hey, the princess is lost. We need their Secret Service to come and find her.
And just
because it's top... What was the phrase you used? Top crisis secret. Was they're like, this is going to be regard... The princess is missing. You know, everyone assemble. We need to discuss if the princess is missing. This is going to be classified as top crisis secret. And I have it down. Ooh, tippy top secret.
You're on double secret preparation.
Yeah. Like, do we have to pinky swear that we won't tell anyone? Think of a better...
I'm just saying...
Code, guys.
If a bunch of dudes in full suits and big, bim...
Just swarmed a barge fedoras. That I was dancing at?
Yeah.
I'd be like, this man is trouble.
And not only that, but, like, this is when I wish they would have had a country.
Yeah!
Because then they could have spoken in their native... language, and it would have been like, oh,
okay. So much more convincing.
Right, like, these people are together. It seemed like they were kidnapping her.
What's the country in the Princess Diaries?
Geneva.
This is when we needed Geneva.
I said that so quickly.
You did!
This is one of those moments where, like, the depth of my knowledge surprises me.
Wasn't, in the Princess Diaries, their, like, national anthem, it's to the tune of, like, Oh Canada, right?
I think it is based on a tune.
Genovia.
I think so.
No, it's not Geneva. It's Genovia.
Oh, Geneva's in Switzerland.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Geneva's a real place. Genovia.
Genovia.
Known for its pears.
But what's the country in The Prince and Me?
I don't know.
See, that's another good one. That's Roman holiday, but roles reversed.
Okay, let's talk about how we were mentioning, well, because as she's traipsing around Rome, Ashu is like, she's like Lizzie McGuire in the Lizzie McGuire movie. And we had just briefly started talking about, but then figured that we should really talk about that while we're recording. Just like, I feel like there's not... That today's version of this, like, oh, the princess in disguise, is, like, the pop star in disguise. I feel like that's kind of more of today's version of the princess.
Well, here's the thing. I was thinking about this.
Yeah.
And I'd like to preface this with, Debbie and I will write the spec script.
I can't wait to hear what you're about to say.
But no, here's the thing. Like,
princess pop star?
No. Here's the thing. No. Because I'm with you. But pop stars,
mm-hmm.
There's no way you can hide. Because you
That's
have...
That's true.
It's just... It's 2015. Cell phones. No.
You couldn't get your hair cut and walk around Rome.
Right.
Even though... I mean, because what I was thinking of, you know, Lizzie McGuire, it's the different hair color. Hannah Montana, it's, like, again, the blonde wig. Like, that thing.
But, so, I was thinking... There are... Like, there is still a royal culture.
Yeah.
There are just some princesses that we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, yeah, everyone knows, like, Prince William, Prince Harry, blah, blah, blah. You know,
yeah.
Fergie, you could do it. But, so, I think that it could still be a princess.
Yeah.
And you could still have a couple of people who know her, especially if it's, like, a giant farewell tour. Farewell tour,
or
I'm sorry.
Just diplomacy tour. I just don't think it really has the same weight of celebrity as it used to. Because now there are celebrities. Like, I feel like the primary celebrities in our culture are, you know, actors and actresses instead of royalty.
Right, but I think it's would be a bigger get to get a one-on-one with a princess saying exactly what she thinks.
Probably, yeah.
Because a pop star, they give interviews dime a dozen.
They do, and especially with social media now. Right. They can say exactly what they think whenever.
But princesses can't. Royalty can't.
But I, because also, like, when, I guess, I mean, movie stars existed, obviously, when this movie was made. But, I don't, just celebrity culture is so different now.
Yeah.
I was like, this is a very interesting kind of parallel to think about. Especially because in all of her press interviews and stuff like that, all of her answers were so packaged.
That's a thing. That's a problem that I had is, this is, I'm about to phrase this question.
Okay.
Who do you think this movie is really about?
Well, because the last shot lingered so long on Gregory Peck.
Right.
It's like, I mean, and also he's the bigger name in this.
Yeah.
It's about him.
Right. But I do wish, and maybe I think this is just, it's my modern way, is mm-hmm. like, oh, those press packages, it's like he kind of prefaced it with like, oh, friendship, you know, da-da-da-da-da. He did her questions before she even said them, or did her answers. But the moment where she was like, Rome is my favorite place, everyone gasped, that would have gotten a huge laugh now. And everyone would have been like, you know, the Rome guys would have laughed and stuff.
Well,
and then...
And what I said when that happened was like, if this was today, BuzzFeed article equivalent would have been, Princess Anne says every other city sucks. Because that's what the gas went where they're like, oh, right. She has a favorite.
But there was no follow-up question to be like...
No, that was a weirded press.
It was a very weird press thing. But also, the part that I wanted to... This movie disappointed me in two aspects.
Mm.
One, I wished she would have been a little bit more just, like, confident. Because she's a princess.
You keep having these expectations.
I know. And that's... But that was something that I'm okay with. But at the end... She became a queen. She became confident in her role as a princess.
Yeah,
she became an adult.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I also wanted her public speaking to be a little bit better at the end.
Because I think it's showing that it's not a happy ending for her.
No, that's the thing.
It's showing that she's willingly going back to being oppressed because it's her duty.
Yeah.
And now it's more of just like now she's an adult and realizing that. And so I think it's kind of...
I think it's
a heartbreaking choice to have her not have good public speaking. Because it's like, you know what? It's back to the same old, but she's doing it because she knows that she has to.
Right.
You know, and she's just, like, taking on this responsibility now.
Yeah, but I did like that she finally, like, stood up to her captors.
Yeah.
Which, they drugged her, right?
They did drug her.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I was like, we're just watching this woman.
And he even said, as he's injecting her, don't worry, it's a new drug.
Right.
Like, this is untested that you're injecting into the sole heir of this undisclosed country.
But I love that, because that's the thing that happens. Like, if you're away from, like, I mean, let's say she's 18.
Mm-hmm.
First big time away from family.
Yeah.
They give her these three handlers.
Yeah.
Or these two handlers. One's a badass general. Mm-hmm. Not really badass.
No.
And one's
like...
She
fainted when they injected her, yeah.
And one's like her chaperone.
Yeah.
And they... Probably in the first city, they were like, we'll take it easy. And then the next, they were like, we have power over her.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just kind of were like...
Well, it just seems like her entire life has been scheduled up until that point. Because especially the woman, like, the caretaker, you know, feeding her, like, crackers and milk before bed every time. I think she's just been so coddled.
Mm-hmm.
And just treated as just perpetual childhood.
Yeah.
And then when she's going through, you know what, you know, 10:45, you'll be presented with the car. Thank you, which you will not accept.
No, thank you.
And it's just, oh, man, she's just
you wear the white dress with pink roses.
She's like, okay, you'll be presented with this. And with everything, she's like, we're gonna meet this person. Nice to meet you. Yes, you'll be presented with this. No, thank you. And then where it's just more of, instead of Princess Anne saying, okay, she answers with, like, the response that she'll give where they've just, they're in a routine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, cogging the wheel, you know?
Yeah. But what do you, and you could tell me that I'm reading too much into it. Mm-hmm. Do you think when she comes back and she's wearing the black robe, nightgown, dress thing? And she's kind of talking to them. Do you think that's significant at all?
Well, I mean, it probably definitely is, you know, showing. Because before she was wearing a white nightgown.
Right.
But then when she goes on the So I think that probably was a conscious choice, yes. And I do, well, because at the press conference, she's wearing an outfit that's a bit, her press outfit, one with the short sleeve, that was the one I was more thinking of, like, what are they trying to show here?
Yeah.
Because I guess, like, yeah, it is a little bit more adult, definitely.
The white, the press outfit?
Yeah, the press outfit, but at the same time, I was like, I know they wouldn't do it, but what I wanted was for her to come out in, like, a black, you know, form-fitting suit, and I, you know that's not what's gonna happen, but I'm still like, with the puffy white sleeves, like, just...
You walk out with...
I want,
like, Madonna and...
What I wanted Sabrina. You know? All right. Like, that's what I wanted.
No, I'm...
But, and every time I watch this, that last outfit where I'm like...
Oh, it's terrible. Because it's also...
The worst.
It's one thing if it was just the dress, but I thought they were trying to hide the hair.
I think they are trying to hide the hair.
But I thought she was wearing a full headscarf when she first came out. And I was
she's wearing a weird hat thing.
Right? And I was like, okay, so you're trying to hide the hair, and then you put a choker on this woman.
Yeah.
And I was like... None of this works. I was like, I need you to take this off, go back, and put
she's
on a nice
outfit. She's back in her uniform.
That's the thing. You know? But I thought the black dress was significant.
The black robe.
Yes, black robe. But then I was disappointed when she came out in the white fluffy dress.
Yeah.
But it does show that she has some sway over her handlers. Yeah. She's still got them
because
to stand back.
In the scene where she stood up for herself, she's wearing, you know, the dark color.
Right, but even she got them to stop following her on the, on the press line.
Mm-hmm.
Just by one look.
And I think it's really funny where she just, I would now like to meet members of the press. And everyone goes, what? This wasn't in the schedule.
Yeah.
I also liked how she's sassy. Like in the scene at the beginning with the shoe.
Yes.
That was really funny. And I like how everyone around her is freaking out. Like, she's missing a shoe, she's missing a shoe, she's missing a shoe. And then someone comes up and they go, hey man, you need to dance with her now. And the general or whatever shoots in this look like, can't you see we're dealing with a crisis? She only has one shoe on. And then everyone's like so relieved when she finds a way to slip it back on. I was like, this is funny.
Yeah.
Because the first time I watched it when he stood up, I'm like, he's going to kneel on the ground.
Right.
And slide back on her shoe Cinderella style. But I mean, that's obviously not what happens. But I think that's funny. That's the thing. This is a funny movie.
It is.
It's just slow paced.
It's just, that's the thing. There's just too much time between jokes. And I think that it would have made the ending, if this was a tight 90 minutes,
mm-hmm.
I think the ending would have been a little bit more heartbreaking.
Yeah.
But at that point, it's like,
because it's so dragged out.
So dragged out. And we also had a goodbye where she was like, just drive away. Like, don't look back. Yeah. And we had that goodbye.
And then they're up. Second goodbye.
Right.
I like how the photographer friend is, I would like to present you with some commemorative
photos.
That's the MySpace pic. That one.
But no, I love that she had that, like, that's the photo that she looked at where she was, like, beaming, like,
over the head with the guitar.
But that's the one that they chose to show. So, like, she's still, so she can remember that she's powerful.
Yeah. So, could have written this wonderful PR piece.
Right, where it's like Princess takes a day off.
Yeah, it falls in love with the Eternal City.
Yeah.
This could have been a brilliant, beautiful story.
Mm-hmm. Do you think do you think she will ever find happiness?
That's kind of a loaded question, because I think that she would have been so happy. Was overjoyed, free of responsibility, if she had, you know, left with this man. But I think she would have ultimately been very, very unhappy, because she doesn't know that he's broke. He borrows money to just buy her whatever she needs on that day. So I think it would have been a very short-lived joy had she left with him. I think that eventually, you know, she will come into her own as royalty, and I think that she will end up having a very fulfilling life. I think there will kind of always be in the back of her mind, oh my gosh, remember that one day, wasn't it amazing? But I do think that she will be happier continuing with her life, because if she had left with him, the man has,
well, that's the part,
you know, $1.50 to his name in American dollars right now.
That's the part that I didn't understand, when she was like, I'll cook for you and I'll clean for you. And I was like, girl, you've never done that in your life.
That's the thing. I think she would have ended up being very unhappy had she left for a domestic life, because she doesn't know how to do anything. She's used to nice things. She's used to a very expensive lifestyle.
It all sounds nice, but like, what Prince and the Pauper story have you heard where the prince is like, I really enjoy being poor?
I think that she probably does love this man, and I'm sure he does love her in, like, their own way, but I don't think that it's a relationship that could have been sustained. I think I would give it a year before she would have been miserable, you know?
Right. Do you think that he will publish this story eventually? Like, write a novel or something?
Maybe.
I think so. I just feel like, even if you look at, like, if you make the equivalent that you know, celebrities or princesses. Look at all the Marilyn Monroe stuff that came out.
Yeah.
Like, everyone was like, my week with Marilyn. My day with Marilyn.
Yeah.
My hour I was in her presence.
I think probably what will happen, just this was happening today, when she gets crowned queen, he will probably publish a piece saying, you know, I spent this one day with her in Rome. Or it's going to be some significant event where he's like, you know what? I've got a story here. There's press around the princess. Here's an unrelated story that'll get a lot of buzz, you know?
But what if, and this is what I hope is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I do think yours might be the one. But I, what if he writes a fictional account?
Oh.
What if this is his story?
What?
What if this is the movie of this real thing that happened?
Well, I don't think that's the case, but it's...
What if? You wouldn't know. But I'm just saying, like, what if he writes a fictional account of, like, someone from an unknown country, undisclosed? Maybe that's what they're trying to say.
Maybe that's what we don't know where she's from. Oh my gosh, it's based on a real person. Right. We've cracked the case.
Princess Anne? Princess Anne?
That's not the same Anne.
I'm just... How do you know?
How do we know?
Well, I don't know the timelines. I could just be like...
That's what I'm saying. It's not...
Oh, all right. That's... Oh, come on. Queen Elizabeth's been around for a really long time.
This was released in 1954, so she was,
Anywho.
I'm just trying to think of, like, the real timeline, because she was crowned when she was, like, 24 or 25, shortly after World War II.
Oh.
She was alive when this came out, which is really, man. Liz, you've... Just... Isn't she the longest reigning monarch now?
Yeah, like a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think she ever sends him back money?
You know, probably.
Girl, like, you should give him some money.
I think she will send it back.
But, like, I'm also like, how would she ever get the money to them?
Well, maybe not, because they had such a good goodbye.
Right.
You know, just be like, but I thought that was funny when she was asking him for money, because she's like, oh, I forgot to ask, can I borrow some money? Well, how much do you need? Oh, I don't know. Like, because obviously she has no conception of how much things cost.
Right.
And so her question is, how much do you got? Right. I'm like, yes, we are asking the right questions here, girl. I need some money. How much do you have? And I liked how he goes, well, here's, you know, 1,000. Oh, my goodness. Oh, 1,000.
No!
It's $1.50. And then it made me think, because in the poker scene, he says, listen, this is my last 5,000. I was like, oh my god, 150 times 5? This man has less than $10 to his name.
Right.
This man is broke. Run, Anne!
Anne! But then she was like, my name's Anya.
Yeah.
And I was like, Anne.
I was like, you started saying your real name and then panicked halfway through it and thought, oh, I should think of a different name. And,
But I feel like Anya might be her real name.
Maybe, and that's just her, you know.
But everyone's like, Anne.
Like, yeah, like Queen Elizabeth and Liz.
Liz, right.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like...
Smith.
Smith.
I like how they didn't say her last name then, either, to just also kind of conveniently avoid the country of origin question.
Right.
We're like, you know, we're not even going to tell her her last name.
She's Princess Anne from... Boom.
From... The top crisis secret country.
From top crisis secret.
The tippy top secret.
Yeah, that was weird. I still thought it was kind of weird that we never see her parents.
Well, because they're back home.
True.
Wherever home is. And it's more she's doing. Like, remember when Will and Kate went to Australia?
Yeah.
And there was all those pictures of. What's the kid?
Will? George!
George. Prince George, who was not having it.
Yeah. But, like,
That's what this was. This was just, like, a... No, but I felt it like wasn't... Because when Will and Kate, they went and visited all the... They visited the Commonwealth.
Right.
And Anne was on a tour literally to almost... She was being a diplomat, basically. Right. Yeah.
To try to bring Europe together.
Yeah.
This is why I don't think it's Anne's story. Or I wish it was more of Anne's story. Because I wish it would have gone into more, like, how she's dealing with becoming... Because they were like, she is next in line. Like, she could be... You know, there's no, like...
I think that's a story that we all want. Because it's a heck of a lot interesting. Right. They know this, what is it? It's a couple story. You know, these people share this day together. So, but what would have been the better story, which of course you don't know at the time of writing it, because no one could have predicted that, oh, this, you know, this Hepburn girl is going to be amazing.
Yeah, the ending of this film.
Yeah.
The true ending, not the epilogue.
Which was when she runs away out of the car, back to the life in the palace.
That's the epilogue, yeah.
No, that's where it should have ended, and then the press thing is the epilogue.
Yes.
Yes, okay.
So, this is where I'm having trouble. Mm-hmm. So she almost gets kidnapped on the boat.
Yes.
He just immediately jumps in, starts beating people up.
Yep.
They swim, she goes back to his apartment again to dry off.
Yeah.
At no point is he like, so why was that? And no one talks about it. So no. Like... I thought she knew that the gig was up, that he knows who she is.
I mean...
But then she is surprised when he shows up, which I was like, yes, it's surprised that he is press corps.
Yeah.
But...
I think that was her surprise. I think she definitely was like, oh man, this man knows who I am. Okay. But the reason why she was so shocked is, oh my gosh, this man is a journalist. Oh my gosh, he's going to write this story. It's going to be this huge scandal, blah, 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 blah. Okay. Oh, that's not going to happen because he gave me the pictures. You know.
And his faith.
Yeah. That's what that was resolving. Okay. I don't think she was surprised of, oh, he found my secret. Because it's like, this man, had him drop her off at the palace.
I guess so. Okay, you know? so that he knows
who she is.
I just wish there would have been something that was like, so a princess.
No, we don't need that conversation.
I was waiting for something to happen, and I guess it was when, like, they were hugging and crying and mm-hmm. stuff that it, like, dawned on them, but I was just, like...
A hug where they were just kind of... In all the old movies, we were talking about this, where they're hugging each other, and they're also, like, rubbing against each other.
They're having sex standing up.
Because, I mean, obviously they couldn't show anything or mention that it had happened, right. So they're like, let's just have the most suggestive hugs.
But do you think that's why she's wearing black? Because they did have sex?
No, I don't think so.
Do you think they did have sex?
I mean, I really don't think so.
Yeah.
To be perfectly honest. I think that kind of would have ruined their little thing, what they had. Yeah. And I see the window where they could have, but I don't think they did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they did.
I don't think they did either. He's just assuming that he knows.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I would have been like...
There's no way he couldn't have known. And I think when she says, you know, drive me back to the palace.
True. Like, at that point, she has to be like, listen, Jerome. Okay,
don't watch me go back in, you know, this whole thing.
That's so sweet.
Yeah.
That was the moment where I was like, oh, okay, we're just going to assume. Because, like, and the bodyguards don't say, like, it's Princess Anne.
Your Royal Highness.
Right. But he only says it to her.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like the barber is like...
The one just practical thing that always kind of bothers me is that, you know, he falls into the water, she jumps in after him, and none of these Secret Service men can apparently swim.
No.
Because no one jumps in after them. They were like, water! You found my weakness! I can't go in water!
Maybe their country doesn't have water.
Maybe they're landlocked completely.
So, I also have another question.
Yeah.
She conceivably could choose her own team. And I think when she gets back to her country, she rechooses. So, I have suggestions. One, I'm kind of mad at the press conference that no one was like, your new hair, let's talk about it. Because the dude was like, $500 for an interview. Hold on.
Ask her more.
No, but here's the thing. The journalist at the beginning, the founder of the newspaper, was like, $500 if you can get an interview with her. $1,000 if you can get her talking about clothes.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So it costs more, but no one comments on the hair, and I wish she would have been like, yeah, Mario, check him out. And then Mario would have been like, holy crap! Which, I was excited. And then, secondly, Irving took beautiful, flattering pictures of her.
He did.
I would be like, okay, that dude's my photographer.
Yeah. I don't think that's how things worked back then.
But I think she could make
in today's world, yes. In today's world, yes, that's what would happen. Back then, no, it just wasn't... That wasn't the press culture. But... That was the word. They asked three questions in the press conference.
They were all terrible questions.
They were terrible questions. They were terrible answers. Then she goes, okay, well, I'm going to shake a few hands now, and that's it. The $500 for all of you? The worst. No scoops.
No.
Were like, gotten, it was just... Except for, Rome's her favorite city.
Right.
Breaking news. Sorry, I'm very much... Just, dumbest press conference. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. So... So if... You need to pretend like you've seen Roman Holiday.
Which I've been doing all my life.
Which, should you know her first film?
Oh, yeah, I think you need to know Audrey Hepburn.
Yeah.
And it's her first film.
Yeah, first Hollywood movie.
You need to know, Rome is itself a main character. Like, very rarely are things shot on location, and this entire movie was shot
in Rome. Yeah, this entire movie was shot in Rome. Yeah, no, Rome...
I think you need to know that it's a love story, but not a love story.
Yeah, it's a romantic comedy with an unhappy ending.
Okay, but this is the thing. I really don't think it's unhappy because she is a ruler of a country. I don't see how that's a bad thing.
Well, in terms of the romance of it, you know, they don't get together at the end. He doesn't get the girl.
Right, but like... You know? This is the part that, this is, I think, the fact that kind of annoys me, is she's never, like, she is the leader of a country.
She's not the leader. Her parents are still in charge.
Okay, fine. She is about to be the leader of
She will eventually be the leader of the country.
Yeah, I just think that that's cool. Like, it would be like...
But also, I mean, you see how much she's controlled. Do you really think that her parents actually have political power? This was after World War II. What monarch was still in charge in Europe?
Just saying. If I was a princess.
Wow. Captain Reality over here. Just swoop in.
If I was a princess.
Okay.
But yeah, I think you need to know it's a love story, unromantic, guy doesn't get girl.
Yeah. So, this has been...
You haven't seen...
I'm Debbie.
And I'm Ashley. Thank you so much for listening. And as always, be sure to rate and review us on iTunes. Check us out on Twitter at YHS_podcast. And check us out on Tumblr at Check us out on Tumblr at youhaven'tseen-podcast.tumblr.com. Our next movie is going to be October 1st.
Yep.
And we're going to be doing spooky movies.
Yeah, we're doing this because it's Halloween, guys!
Halloween! Halloween's on a Saturday this year.
Oh, yes, is it? Yes.
I'm getting my hair cut.
Nice. that being said, though, we haven't chosen our first movie yet.
No, but we have some good movies lined up that month.
We do.
We have some really good movies.
Watch the space, guys.
Watch the space. But the first one that neither one of us have seen, we haven't, because... Neither one of us like horror, so there are a ton to choose from.
I think that we've kind of been avoiding, we're like, we got really excited, we're gonna do a theme! What scary movies have, and we're just, because every other time we've talked about it, we've been kind of, like, because every one that we both haven't seen is kind of a legit horror movie, and
right.
I think we've just both been a little anxious and kind of thinking ourselves, like, why did we make this decision? But we're gonna do it, we're gonna choose one, and we're gonna announce
it. Watch it with the lights on.
Yes. Watch it, the lights on in the daytime. So, yeah, we'll see it. We'll see you next time.
Yep, check us out.
You already said all that.
No, I meant we'll see you October 1st.